You know, words have the power to shape and to change lives. I know this was true for me. It happened when my dad said his final words to me before I went off to college. And he said this, he said, "Son, your mom and I have had the honor and the privilege for these past 18 years to raise you as our son. And by now, if we haven't taught you how to make your own decisions in life, I will consider myself a complete failure. You are a man now. You direct where your life is going to go." Powerful words. Unfortunately, those powerful words did not fall on a mature mind. And all I heard when he said this was freedom. That going into college, that I could just make any choice that I wanted to make, good or bad. And guess what? First 2 years didn't look so good. And I'm not going to try to oversell it or anything like that, because I became a Christian in high school and I was pursuing after the Lord. Some of the relationships I got into, some of the decisions I was making with schooling, some of the activities that I was participating with, I was just really going nowhere healthy. And I looked back at his words and I realized, man, I was looking at a very basic meaning. There was something much more deep there. That really what my dad was saying was this. We spent 18 years raising you. We trust you. We trust you to make the right decision. Oh, and by the way, you're also an adult, so you're going to have to live with the consequences of your decision. And if you looked at the first 2 years of my college and the last 2 years, you would think it's a completely different person. Because I began to live out the true meaning of what my father had said. You know, this Advent season, really all we're doing is we're just looking at some words. And we really want to dive in deep and look at them and find out the true meaning of those words, because we believe that words have the power to shape and to change people's lives. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I believe that every word written in our Bible is inspired by God. It's there for a reason. But if you could just step with me into this moment of time where Isaiah is in his room and he's writing in this scroll these words, that I believe that the Spirit is alongside there and he is guiding him. And when he gets to these final two lines, he is telling him, he's saying, hey, make it bold, capitalize it, draw attention to it. I want people to see this. Because it is describing who God is. It is describing the one to come. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is the word that we're looking at today. And really the basic meaning of the word peace, it's kind of absence of conflict. I don't have any beef with that guy. We're at peace with each other. That's not the true meaning. It's much deeper. It comes from the Hebrew word shalom, and it means this: being in a state of wholeness or being without deficiency. It is the desirable state of wholeness in which relationships are restored. I just want you to think on this one word, wholeness. This is the place that relationships ought to be. Not that, hey, I don't have a beef with that person or we are not in conflict. No, we have a wholeness to our relationship. There is nothing lacking between us. The verb word, the verb form of this word is shalom, to make whole or complete, to provide restitution, fulfillment. Now I just want to give you a quick Bible study tip as you dive into Scripture. It is so important, it is so key to start with looking at who God is. Because once you find out who God is, that's where his actions come from. God creates because he is already a creator. God loves because he is love. And so when we hear that he is the Prince of Peace, he is the Prince of Shalom, it means he's going to do something. And so what is he going to do? Well, we find it a few chapters later in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 26, verse 12, Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all of our works. Now look at this. Who is doing the action? Who is doing the establishing? It is the Lord. You will establish peace for us. You will establish wholeness, completeness for us. And look at this next line. It seems a little strange, but it says, you have also performed for us all of our works. And this is where I begin to look at the Bible as this beautiful puzzle. And as you look at it, you can see the pieces begin to fit together. Because hundreds of years later, Paul will write these words, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Can I give you the Brian Pope translation of this? It's saying, sorry, you don't measure up. None of us do. Nobody here in this room, especially the person on the stage, can measure up to the standard that God has set and to his glory. And if the story ended there, it would be a sad story. But we know it doesn't, because you just turn a couple of passages over and it says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have wholeness with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because of the things that he has done, because he is the one who went out and performed for us, and he is the one who has done all of our works. We have completeness and wholeness with him. Amen. And Jesus tells this to his disciples right before he's about to go to the cross. When he's sharing his last meal with them, he says this, peace I leave with you. Completeness, wholeness, lacking in nothing between you and me. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And so what does that mean? What is it talking about? Well, the world constantly shouts at us and says, your life is lacking. And the reason that you are not feeling full is because you need to fill that with something that the world provides. And so we say to ourselves, man, maybe I'm not feeling whole because I'm not in the right relationship. I'm just not married to the right person. If I find the right person and if I get in the right relationship, maybe I'll feel whole. Well, okay, that hasn't done that. So maybe I need to get the right job or follow the right career, get the right salary or the right promotion. Maybe I need to live in the right house in the right neighborhood. Okay, that hasn't worked either. Okay, well, maybe it's because I don't have kids. And we look at scripture and kids are a blessing. Don't get me wrong, parents. Kids are a blessing. But they're not Jesus. And we begin to look at all these things. And maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a bad habit that we're chasing. We're thinking, well, maybe this will make me whole. Because we all know deep down inside, man, something is missing. And Jesus is saying the world is going to constantly just throw these things at you. And it's going to say your peace, your wholeness is found there. But it's not the same peace that I give you. My peace I give to you. I'm going to tell you, I love Christmas. Out of the five love languages, guess what's number one on my list? Absolutely. Gifts. And I do love thinking at Christmas time, man, when Jesus is saying, my peace, my wholeness, I give to you. He's just saying it's a gift. It is a gift. And wherever you do not measure up, I am the Prince of wholeness, and I offer it to you for free. I think in this room, you might fall into one of these categories, you might not. I think there's probably a lot of people in here that sometime in your life, and it might have been years ago, you received that free gift, that you put your faith into Jesus Christ. But for some reason, you never felt like it was enough. You never felt like God really loved you. Maybe you just never really believe that you are a dearly loved child of God. And so what did you do? You tried to memorize more scripture, have more Bible studies, pray more, go to church all the time, become a community group leader. You try to do all these things thinking that maybe at some point that I will finally feel that I'm accepted and I'm loved by God, and God will finally go, I'm proud of you. And I'm here to tell you today that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's already what he feels. And just rest in the peace and the wholeness that he's given you, because it's not a wholeness that you created through your good works. It's a wholeness you receive through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Rest in it. And then there's probably some people here that you've just never received that gift. And maybe you've never been able just to kind of wrap your arms around what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to come into a relationship with him? And really, all it means is receiving what he's already done for you. He did it all. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Wholeness. He offers this peace, this wholeness to you. Whatever was lacking, wherever you didn't measure up, it's for you. So my encouragement, even here today, is receive that from him so that you may rest in it. Hey, in a few minutes, we are going to partake of communion. And I don't know what you do during communion. I don't know what you think about. But if you would just allow me this morning just to kind of guide your thoughts when the elements come by. Because within communion, we see the perfect picture of the gospel. And as you take the bread, realize this is a representation of Christ's body that was broken and given for you. Christ says, "No one takes my life. I lay it down willingly." He is the one who made restitution. And so as you take it, just realize this is his body. And as you begin to chew on it, realize his body was broken for you. Because he is the one who says, "I am coming to make you complete and to make you whole." And then as you take the juice, which represents his blood, this was the blood that was shed for you. This is the blood that has the power to forgive all of your sins. No matter what your past history was, no matter what list is going on in your mind right now, no matter what you did last night, his blood will wipe it away as far as east is from west. Though your sins were scarlet, he will make them white as snow. Just take that and realize, Jesus, thank you. I'm forgiven. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. That name is Jesus.
My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable, yet knowable, indefinable, yet approachable, indescribable, yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination, constant through generation, King of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few to try and capture the one true God. Using my vocabulary will never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He's welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. And he's made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning and drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And he sustains in the power of his name, for he is before all things and above all things he reigns. Holy is his name. So praise him for his life, the way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise him in his death, that he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battles our enemy and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as the risen King. Lift your voice and sing, for one day he'll return for us and we will be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words I proclaim, for my words point to the Word, and the Word has a name. Hope has a name. Peace has a name. Joy has a name. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever.